Hey, friend. It is Chris Ringler on this is the Spooky Chris podcast. Thanks for joining me on this endeavor today. You can find all my blogs and stories and reviews and everything I do, all my little magic, at SpookyChris.com. When I do these things, you know, I kind of accept that, generally speaking, I'm just kind of speaking aloud into a void. I don't have any allusions to any great listenership numbers, but I do try to make them, you know, at least moderately interesting or entertaining if I can without being a circus clown. Though, you know, I did take a clown class as a kid. I should maybe try that. Maybe that would be my breakthrough and I could be an influencer finally after all those years. I try to kind of talk about things that are interesting in some way. This go around, this is a lot more serious of a topic. In it's just a matter of, it's kind of an elephant in a room of sorts, and I don't know how, you know, I think it's silly to avoid talking about it, and that's the Flint water crisis. This month marks 10 years since the beginning of the water crisis, and everybody's going to have, 10 cents to say about it in our area. And it's one of those things where the world definitely moved on, especially, geez, now you read the news and you see lead in the water far too many places in the United States and definitely overseas and internationally. So it's one of those things where we may have been the first one at the party, but we are definitely not the last ones now. And, you know, over these 10 years, you've seen books come out. It was big enough that they made a Lifetime movie about it, which I still never watched. I watched a few minutes of it, and it was funny because they showed this, like, our city council chambers, and it was this big, elaborate, looked like a sci-fi movie set because it was this big, bright, semicircle area, and it was really just very, very impressive. And which is not at all close to the truth of the fact that ours is in a building that was built in the 70s and looks every inch of its age, and is known more for the arguing that happens within those chambers than the work that they do. So it was interesting, you know, and it was a curiosity, and I can't remember, there was a famous person or two in it, but I can't recall. But I wanted to talk for a few minutes about it. I'm not going to belabor the point because, as I say, the world at large kind of moved on. It's talked about here and there, but more of a shaking of the head, man, you know, kind of thing, or someone reposting something, you know, from someone else, and people just like, yeah, justice for Flint. So at the time, I'm not even really going to get into the history other than just to say that, like, it's a lot more complicated than sound bites can ever give it. Cause how this all started was the water prices were so high in Flint. I mean, they're still so, so high for a city that's, blue collar city, with a high poverty level. And so the thought was that we would get our water from one of the Great Lakes, and it was from a pipeline that these people owned. And I believe Detroit got their water from the pipeline. A bunch of different municipalities did. So they were going to build their own pipeline, this new entity, and they were going to build it. And we were going to get water from that, and it was going to decrease our costs and stuff. So that was kind of, I mean, old lead lines is really the beginning, is a lack of infrastructure. If you want to go way, way back, it's just a matter of, like, our cities. We kind of built everything, and then we don't want to spend on the things we need to, much like, none of us do, We want to buy the TV, not get our teeth fixed. And Lord knows I am first in line on that group. But, so that's kind of where it really, really started, is just not dealing with the boogeyman under our bed, like our infrastructure in this nation. So they were gonna do this, and they were moving, and they were gonna switch water supplies and blah blah blah, and then switching it, it, you know, these old pipes that put all this lead in the pipes, and it was just a big kettle of biscuits. And our mayor at the time, it ruined him politically, because he was the one that threw the switch, and he's, you know, he and I can't remember who else, like some other people, took the first drinks out of the water. And it's just, he was unfortunately the guy front and center. Our the governor at the time is the one who really, really was pushing for, you know, cutting corners and pushing things, you know, in such a way that got us to where we were. There was all kinds of, like, there's too much chlorine in the water, so they had to, like, dial the chlorine back, and then it's not enough in the water, and it was just such a mess. They were using river water, which was purified and everything, and it was, you know, and then that was, everything was exacerbated by the next thing, and there were so many people in line that were covering their butts, that it just became this mess. And I remember, and again, like, and I'm not going to try to get into the history because it's been a second since I've actually looked at everything, and I'm definitely not trying to misspeak and mischaracterize anything. I'll just speak to my own truth. But I remember, when everything started really, my mind's casting back, and these people started realizing that it was the governor that screwed us. And this was the governor that, very, you know, kind of controversial. He was the nerd, the smart nerd, or the, like, you know, whatever. Like, he cast himself as this outsider, and he was a smart guy who ran Gateway Computers and kind of ran it into the ground. And it's funny because I always laugh when people are like, you know, they wanted Trump because they want an outsider. We want someone who's not part of the system. Governor Snyder was not part of the system, and he was exactly the worst person, because he was a numbers guy. He was a, we are going to make the numbers work, you know, by hook or by crook. And then when it's gets messy and it's like, well, people are getting sick, people are potentially dying, this is, you know, a big mess, it's like, numbers, 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 make the numbers work. Like, he did not see people, he saw numbers, front to back. And that's the problem. God knows politicians are not a favorite of mine in any capacity. But the problem is that politicians are trained essentially over the course of their careers in how to do things. And you try to walk that razor's edge of serving your constituents, serving people, and then serving the great machine that is government. And the successful ones are the ones that can kind of keep on that razor's edge, and you know, most of them cannot. They're either too much like tear the whole system down and damn the torpedoes, or the other side, they're just like, I'm gonna make any deal I can because I want a I want a payday after this is done. But I remember as things got real rough, like there was a point, I mean, where, you know, the water giveaways, like, it's funny because, not really funny, but. And you think back, my wife and I, at one point, we had our house, at the time, these ghost hunters basically came and did two investigations, whole other story there. They did two, investigated our house twice. And it was interesting because the first time they came, like, we had a stack of 10 cases of water, something like that, against a wall. And they're just like, holy cow. And it's like, it's crazy to think that things can get so bad in America that they are giving away water. People would call and want to donate, you know, from out of state, and want to donate water. They would want to, like, know how they can send money to help, how they can send water, how they can, you know, it was a point where all of these shysters kind of popped up, and they're like, oh, I have this great idea that'll save the whole city, and it's going to clean all the water, and it's this one miracle imaginary thing I have, and I'm sure some there's businesses that had this, and they had technology they believed that would help. I remember somebody had called, my job at the time, blaming Jewish people for the water crisis, because that's what racists and anti-Semites do, is they just, you know, they look into their closet and pull out the most convenient boogeyman. But it was crazy, you know. Much like, you know, COVID is in, is it's these are two interesting points that you'll look back in life. Like I remember with COVID, I felt like I got a cheat code when I had gone one day to buy toilet paper. I was able to go out like the day I kind of got I listened to the news and kind of heard through the grapevine stuff that they were going to shut the state down. So I was able to get out of work early and go and load up on groceries and stuff right before things hit. So it wasn't a while until that we needed, it wasn't for a while until we needed toilet paper. And I remember going to a local Rite Aid and finding some. And the person there like, oh, gosh, yeah, we get those on Wednesdays, blah, 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 you know, like whatever. And it felt like a cheat code because I just roll up like when they were getting them and they would have them in stock before they sold out. And it was, you know, it's those kind of crazy stories because I remember like there were points like, you know, they would have spots along in the city where you would just pull up and they would load you up with water. They'd ask how many cases you'd want. And there was like a limit towards the end there, but they'd be like, how many cases do you want? I'm like, yeah, four. They'd load you up with cases of water and you'd drive off. I mean, at one point they were coming around door to door, checking to see if you needed water or needed, you know, lead testing kits. And it became such a circus. Our former mayor was the queen of the ball because all of these celebrities and stuff wanted to help. Snoop Dogg came out and did something. And I speak no ill of any of the celebrities. Will Smith's son, I can't remember. Jaden Smith, I think. And I say they because I can't remember if they were non-binary at this point. Right, I forget. But anyways, had a water system that they had brought out here. So this is not to speak ill of celebrities. We had Macklemore came out and gave a speech to, or you know, talked to a bunch of kids. And this, you know, pretty much across the board, this was not celebrities like getting in the press and like, you know, like, oh, I'm going to be doing this. They like wanted to help. Like you would hear like, oh, hey, Snoop Dogg's gonna be in town. And so they were basically, they were probably telling them, you know, the mayor's office and stuff so that we, you know, they would understand so they could set things up. But it was never, as far as I could tell, it was never a big look at me kind of a thing. And so I give them credit. We had so many folks. I was trying to think. I forget how many, but we had a lot of celebrities come through. And it was funny because our mayor was always front and center, like anytime she could ever be with celebrities. And I get it, she was the mayor, but it was just she was something else. She was a funny chick. And so it was just so weird because it became kind of this circus. And then you read about it nationally, how people had opinions in other, even just in our area, people had big opinions that didn't live in Flint. And having lived it, it's scary. It's so scary because, you know, we had dogs. And you know, my wife and I were trying to have a kid, and you're scared to death. Like I still brush my teeth with water. I took showers, but like yeah, we didn't cook with the water. We knew a lot of people who didn't shower with that water. Like they would do kind of sponge baths. Didn't brush their teeth with the Flint water. Our house luckily never had really high lead levels, but the whole city was hit. It was just a matter of how bad, basically. But it was scary because you just don't know what's going on. And with the city, like there were businesses, any kind of restaurants that would, so there's Flint City and then there's a Flint Township. And it got so bad. So all of these restaurants in Flint Township is more of a shopping district. And that's where like the mall was and all the restaurants and stuff. And they would have to fight with, and even other municipalities too, have to fight with like, we do not get water from the same water source. We do not have lead water. Over and over again, had you know, and we had people calling at my work and stuff, like wanting to know, well, is the water still bad? What's going on? And so it was a thing, you know, it was so bad that Flint Township has tried for years now. Just you know, they've always kind of had this thing because you know they don't want to be associated with Flint. Oh, shiver, shiver. But especially because of the water crisis, they wanted their own identity, and they've been trying to kind of change their name to have their own identity and not be associated with the city of Flint. But it was so crazy because you had that aspect, like businesses. I mean, we lost so much tourism and so much business, you know, that wouldn't come there because they don't want to deal with it. Like, how do you try to sell people on moving there when it's like, you know, hey, it's great. You know, houses are inexpensive, blah, blah, blah. Oh, yeah, there's a water crisis. Oopsie poopsie. Sorry about that. Our bad. And it's just, it was just so much, you know, and then you had people that would, you had different factions that were fighting for the people, but then they started fighting one another because it was kind of like they started in the same spot. And then the longer this has gone on, the more they moved apart because each one, you know, each faction kind of had their own other issues they were dealing with. And just, you know, people can't stay out of drama with one another. You know, when they first started talking about like settlements and stuff, and that, oh, we're gonna sue, and we've watched, you know, the governor got away with it because governors and presidents and elected officials don't go to jail. That's just not what happens. But you know, now we're in the money part, and you know, we're watching as the machinery was starting to be like, okay, so these people, like, you know, the state was like, okay, we're responsible for part of this, so they're going to kick in money. And then there's firms that were involved in that misread water level, you know, like what the water was doing, and it's so complicated. But so there's over the years, there's been a pot that was created. And I think they finally came to a number. It was like $750 million that's supposed to be divided amongst people who filed claims in the city of Flint. With, you know, and then it goes from like the kids should get the most money because they're the ones that were affected. I remember, and I don't know. I only know anecdotally. I spoke to more than one person who worked with kids who insisted that like they had seen changes in behavior, like they had seen kids acting out more since the water crisis. And even if it wasn't the water itself, like the stress of families not necessarily being able to use the water to bathe, to cook, to do their, you know, clean their teeth. I mean, that enough is high stress levels on people. So I don't doubt that at all, that kids were starting to act out and act up. But yeah, so the kids would get the biggest pot, and then businesses that were affected, and then houses that were affected, and kind of, you know, we still 10 years later, they finally came up with the numbers. They came up with, you know, they went through the whole thing, like everybody who is in this file, and then they realized, like, crap, people don't know how to file. Like, it was a huge packet to fill out, either online or physically, and people like they had so few people essentially filing claims that they had to open up these like a hub so people could come and do it in person, because they wanted water bills, proof of ownership, medical records, all of this stuff, because they're trying to, you know, you're trying to prove to them, like, either I own a property that was affected and you'll get $10, or I was physically ill from this and you'll get $100. And so you had all that, and then they came around, you know, they sent another thing, and they're like, okay, cool, so we need more information. And they kept doing that, and there's people that don't have the technology, don't have the understanding to do this. So no matter how this ends, there's going to be a lot of people who are left out, which is just heartbreaking. But I don't know how else you could have done it, because there's only so much you can do. You can't, outside of going door to door, you can't track everybody down. You only hope would have been that the churches and all these, you know, organizations and stuff would have helped people, neighbors, neighborhood associations. So they had to file and stuff, and they came up with numbers and blah, blah, blah. We are 10 years into this, and they still don't know when any of us could get money. I don't know that I'll get anything as a homeowner. And that's, I mean, it's to me a bummer, because we went through this. We had a hardship. I don't know what you'd call it from it. But the heartbreaking part is that these kids, and you got to think, some of them are dead for whatever reason. And it would not to be morbid, but let's be honest, even the elderly, you know, people that were affected passed away, guaranteed, since this started 10 years ago. So money that they could have, especially, and again, kids are even living, money that could have helped them in their lives. It could have helped their education, their health, take stress off of themselves and their family, anything. They still don't have that money. We don't know when they'll have that money. The lawyers got paid right off the, you know, right off the top, like, here's yours. And they took $200 million. So I think there's $400 million left, something like that. Like, yeah, it's something to like 400 and something million. So they took a couple hundred million from expenses and all the costs for all these lawyers, because this army of lawyers that were involved. So like, you've already lost a bunch of that money. We don't know who's, how much anyone's getting. We still don't know. I don't know if I'm getting any money. People don't know. People don't know if they are getting money yet, 10 years later. And these kids are now entering their late teens, early 20s, some of them, and still don't have that. I mean, you're talking people. We moved out of the city. People have moved away. It's such a mess. And it's so sad because 10 years later, we're all still dealing with this ghost. The water in Flint's fine. You know, the city has recovered, as you know, in many ways. In some ways, it may, you know, may never quite recover some of what it's lost. Much like the, you know, America's lost things into COVID that will never recover. Not necessarily big, not necessarily ground shattering, but like, still, they are things that matter. And like I say, it's just crazy. 10 years down the line, and you think about all this, and you know, we had so many friends and stuff that lived there, and it was, you know, you didn't hide under the bed or like, oh my God, I can't believe it. Was just part of the day. Like, sometimes I had to go out and get cases of water. That was just how it was. And they had to haul them in. You'd use the water, and then you'd have to go out and get some more cases of water. You'd see lines out of, you know, and they'd do it at different places. I mean, there was an abandoned bowling alley that they were at. And you could see some days lined out the entrance exit to do that. You know, they still have the Michigan State University College of Medicine, which we have there. They have one of those in Flint. That's why they opened in Flint, one of the big reasons. And they work with Dr. Mona, who was the main doctor who was front and center. Was like, this is a problem. This is a problem for kids. But they have ongoing research, like looking into kind of how long-term effects of the crisis. You know, my job had to do, they did water giveaways, they did grants, for businesses that were affected. They tried to help as much as they could, but it's just one of those things. It's like, it's hard to get your mind around how much the crisis affected everybody, and that we still all can't move on. And that it became kind of at points a national joke, to some. Because, like, they just want a handout. It's no big, you know, when the suburbs aren't dealing with this, they don't care, because they just think, you know, they think of a city and they think, oh, everybody's on welfare. They just want money. And they don't see the people. And that's a huge problem with our country, too, is we don't see people. We see issues that we oppose or support, but we don't see the people behind them or that are affected. So as 10 years passes, and we find that we are not any closer to a resolution and finally to kind of putting this completely to bed, it's interesting to live with this ghost, to know, you know, even after, you know, when we went through IVF with our daughter, and I keep wanting to kind of talk about that, especially with how things have gone in the country in the last couple of years with that kind of stuff. We were scared to death about if she could be affected because of the water. If my, you know, if my sperm count had been affected, if my wife's sexual health had been affected, you know, if she would be able to have a child because of this stuff. And it's scary. It's scary because you just don't know. How many women didn't have kids because of issues, because of the crisis. And again, it goes beyond the lead because it goes to stress levels and stuff. And our first attempt at IVF didn't work. And again, like, who knows? You just don't know. At the time, it was, I would imagine it was stress from, you know, the day we went through the whole process. My wife lost her mother. So I think it was stress from that. But, you know, there's a huge gray area where you don't know how this stuff affects your health. And you can't not in some way be affected emotionally and physically by something like a water crisis, because it changes everything for everybody. And so as this shadow kind of hangs heavy on us all, I can only hope that, you know, the heroes that came out of it, and there are some, stand taller than those that were grifting on the misfortunes. And there were a lot of those too, writing books and doing podcasts and doing all these things, you know, to make themselves famous off of the tragedy in Flint. But I can only hope that the smoke will clear sooner than later, and that we'll get resolution, and the people that deserve that money, those kids, will get it and can move forward with their lives and actually really start living and live outside of the shadow of this crisis that has started to affect other parts of our country. Friend, that's all I got for you today. I will hope that you are well. You can find all my blogs and everything else at spookychris.com. I am and remain your pal. Take care.